Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone? Jada Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling. On this Tuesday morning with the Phils, they lose again. This one was irritating. I mean, not just the way the game was played, but knowing that it's against the Mets, knowing that last season ended against the Mets, knowing that the Phillies obviously are trailing the Mets in the division. It was just an irritating game. We will talk extensively about it and what it means about the Phils in the big picture. We'll also get a lot to the Eagles. I mean, really kind of a 50-50 show today, because the NFL draft is coming up in 2 days. So an awful lot on the Phils, an awful lot on the Eagles as well. Get you ready for that. Ruben Amaro with us in studio at 7. Phillies tickets, we'll give them away later today. Your chance on that. Got to climb into the phone lines for that, though. 215-592-9494. Richie Rich, how are you, pal?
Hello, Joe.
Good to see you back, bud.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's great to be back.
Yeah.
I had a chance to see my son who came home for Easter.
Nice.
And we spent, quality family time, a lot just out in my backyard, which was really cool.
That's fantastic.
And then I had to take him back to the airport yesterday, which was a challenge. And I was bragging the whole weekend. Hey, look at me, guys. Look how good I am. Look how great I'm doing. And like, I am strong. I'm emotionally strong.
Yep.
And then, I got a little bit sad, but it was like a manageable sad yesterday when I took him back. Like, I think I am in
That's
the
good.
Clear to where I'm no longer embarrassing my children when my son goes back to school. So
I get it, man.
That's evolution, in a positive way.
It is, but even if you had balls of tears, then that means you got a lot of love, and that's a good thing, man.
There's a lot of love. Yeah. He's a great kid.
Good.
It has been shown that deaf individuals sign in their sleep.
Wow.
Just like
that's wild.
That is
hearing
wild. That's a great fact.
Speak at times. Sometimes it's just jumbled and it doesn't make any sense. They've done studies that show that sometimes the signing can be jumbled and not make any sense. Sometimes it can be telling you what's going on in the dream. It can be describing the backdrop.
That's incredible.
In the dream.
That's an incredible fact.
It really is amazing.
Would not have known that, like that fact quite a bit. So let me ask you a question. What were you signing last night around the seventh inning with the Phillies game?
Oh, my God. I can't say them on the radio. I can sign them if I knew how to.
So,
a bunch of curse words. That's what I was doing.
Look, I really want to hear from you today. I hope a lot of people listening right now watched that game last night. It wasn't pretty. Now, in the end, it became close because the Phillies, put up a big score in the ninth inning, but, not enough. Aggravating, frustrating, irritating, pick your adjective. I think any of them and more apply. Look, let's start with last night's game, then we'll broaden it out big picture. So last night, John, Nola was like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, at first, it seemed like a disaster. Then he obviously settled down after the home run that wasn't. He did settle down. But then the seventh inning, makes his whole line look worse and be what it was. It wasn't.
But that's
it wasn't good
just
enough.
Like
wasn't
karma.
Good enough.
Yeah, it wasn't karma. Good enough. It ends up, was it not a home run? The bottom line was he gives up those lollipops, and it's with regularity.
Yeah.
And we know
a lot of
also
home runs.
that it we're looking at a guy whose velocity is down a mile or two on every pitch he throws.
Right. And it's also not, you know, April 1st anymore. It's not as cold as it was, you know, 3 weeks ago. So,
and I'm so sick and tired of that being a valid excuse.
I agree.
That cannot be used as a valid excuse for a sport that its biggest games are played when it's cold.
I totally agree.
You can't say, hey, guess what, Aaron Nola. I've tried to defend him in the cold and say, hey, he's better when it's sticky. But then that just falls totally flat when you look at the big picture. Take a step back. When we need him most, it's going to be 40 degrees and crisp. That's not humid.
John, I agree with you 1,000,000%. So he was he wasn't a disaster, but he was a disappointment. That's obvious. You can react on that. Now, the bats were the biggest issue last night. They didn't hit until the ninth inning when it was, you know, seemingly all over and then sort of not. But, you know, they didn't come back. They didn't win the game. So the bats were just horrendous for the most part. And then you had another game where you had another bullpen situation. And in this case, it was Ruiz. It's like every game, it's like pick a guy or two. And this one's Ruiz. So, you know, look, now let's get to big picture. Go ahead, John.
Ruiz put it back on Nola. I mean, did that end up getting credited to Nola's?
Well, two runners did, two of the three did. Okay.
But he still gives up the homer. And this team's given up a lot of inherited runs this year, a lot. Ruiz, that's Michael Barkan was saying after the game, Ruiz has given up 10 alone, which is almost astounding.
He's been horrendous. Last year he had some flashes. I was like, this guy's all right. He stinks.
And you know what? You know what's really annoying, James?
He said he has to come into a high leverage spot every time he pitches.
Well,
that's one annoying thing.
Yeah, that is. I'll give you another one. His ERA doesn't look as bad as he's been.
Totally.
Because the inherited runners don't count against him.
And guess what? His ERA is still bad.
So you got the whole bullpen issue, which obviously we've been talking about for a couple weeks now.
Yes. Oh, man. Frustrating. But it does feel like that's something that can be addressed at times prior, you know, right? Trade deadline stuff. We got to wait for that, though.
I know.
That's the problem. That's
but you
painful.
Know what? In a more, but I agree with you, but I'll say this. In a more loaded National League, there is less guarantee this year than last year or the last 2 years that they will make the
you
playoffs.
You think it can slip that
yeah,
far?
Yeah, it can. It can. Yeah. I mean, there's good teams out there right now.
Yes.
I mean, the Mets, now look, the Mets and the Braves have kind of inverted over the last 2 years. 2 years ago, the Mets were a disaster. The Braves were great. Right now, the Braves aren't very good at all, and I think they're going to pick it up. But they got a lot of issues down there, and the Mets look like a really good baseball team. And obviously, Juan Soto's made, you know, a difference. Now, not the difference that they expected, but he's going to make a bigger difference moving forward. He's one of the five best players in baseball. So just fundamentally issues with the Phils based on last night you see. But let's broaden it out here for a moment, guys. Because, yes, I want to hear from you at 215-592-9494 on what stood out to you with last night's game. And I'm particularly interested, sixth inning, seventh inning, eighth inning. I want you to be honest. Sixth, seventh, and eighth inning last night, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? Now, they did make a comeback. They didn't come all the way back. But prior to that, I know there were a lot of people last night in the Delaware Valley cursing the Phils. Be honest. What were you thinking sixth, seventh, and eighth inning watching that game, seeing it obviously slip away, knowing the bats had been, you know, anemic? All right. That's on the table, 215-592-9494. But let's get big picture on the Phils. So something just doesn't feel right with this baseball team. Something feels off. Something feels off with this baseball team. And it's any combination of things. It's Nola. It's Dombrowski and the lack of solving problems that existed last season, creating new problems that didn't exist. I mean, the bullpen last regular season was phenomenal. The lack of Jeff Hoffman, you know, and now you got the new guy, but the other guys, like, you know, James just said, Ruiz not pitching as well. Like, not good.
They had two all-stars. They had two middle reliever all-stars last. I don't ever remember that happening before.
I don't either. And they deserved it. So, bullpen off. Mojo off. You know, Rob Thompson's answers after some of these games, off. Too forgiving, too excusing, too annoying, frankly. And by the way, I put Rob Thompson way down on the list this year of culpability. I mean, as if, for instance, he referenced going back to Nolan the seventh inning last night. He didn't say it, but I'll translate what he basically said. Who the hell am I going to go to?
Would you have rather restarted the inning?
Right. Like, you know, so he's in a bind. So to me, last night's game is not a Rob Thomson game. It is on the players. It is on Trey Turner. You know, Bryce ultimately made the final out of the game. You know, Bryce has picked it up as of late, and Bryce is obviously the best player on the
team.
That
was a bad at bat, though.
It was a bad at bat.
Call it like we see it. That was an awful at bat.
He went fishing on three pitches, and that was the end of the ball game. Look, Trey Turner has been a massive disappointment. I mean, you see a situation like last night, and don't kid yourself. You know, Juan Soto hasn't exactly been gangbusters out of the gate for the Mets, but you see the 1-2 punch of their two high-priced big guys, right? You got Lindor smacking the ball all over the place. And you got Soto, who you know is going to. Phillies, you got Bryce, who generally has been and will continue. And you got Trey. Do that tail of the tape. I mean, we're, you know, like Trey Turner compared to Juan Soto or Lindor, whoever you want to compare him to. And obviously his contract's more Lindor than Juan Soto.
Position too, right?
Yeah, position too. I mean, he's been a huge disappointment. So, you know, I don't want to freak out because I'm aware of two things that I think have to be said in a moment like this. Number one, the Eagles did have some really strange, they had a strange way to get to extreme greatness. I mean, Eagles games in September and October, and even portions of November last season, you know, the offense in particular, it was a winding road to exceptional greatness. And they got to exceptional greatness, obviously, in the postseason. The record spoke to it the whole year. But seeing the way they would slog through games like the Jags game and others, like there were times where the Eagles, they weren't nearly as good in the beginning as they were at the end, is my point. So I hope there's a similar thing with the Phillies. Second thing I'll say, a couple years ago, Phillies were 21-29, made the playoffs, made a great run. The next year, they were 22-29, made the playoffs, made a really good run. So this isn't like freak out time, but this is, you know, this is start putting your finger in the air, reading the wind, and saying, something don't feel right. I mean, let's be real.
You know what's amazing?
Something doesn't feel right.
We're 13-10, and Aaron Nola actually accounts for half of those losses.
That's right, John.
That's crazy
to
think about.
Right. That's right.
But that it is a small sample size. It is concerning for Aaron Nola, that's for sure. We have needs in the bullpen. We need to get our butts in gear offensively. Let's be honest. I think the biggest problem, Joe, is we talked about this a little bit last week. This team's identity has not been found at this point. This team that previous seasons, they knew that they could lean into the, you know, frivolous, all those fun, the daycare kids, and then you got serious older Bryce and Schwarber, and they're holding down the fort. But I do think it damaged the identity of this team.
You know what the thing is, Sean?
They said, we're going to do away with the daycare, and now maybe they're thinking they should bring it back. Maybe they're thinking, hey, that's not what we – maybe that will never be what we do again. The fact remains, they did not find the proper recipe for this new direction.
So, let me respond to that. And again, everyone, you can weigh in 215-592-9494. I am struck, John, by the thought you just presented, because I, too, have thought about it a lot. But I think that whole line of thinking obscures the thing that is 99% more prevalent. They might just not be that good.
Well, here's the thing.
Like two years ago,
or not good in baseball is 99% in your head.
I don't know about that.
These guys need to feel a certain way, to play a certain way, and it's so streaky. We know that. Part of mastering baseball is you're never going to do it. So don't, you know, keep trying, keep plugging away. You put the work in.
Yeah.
You just figure out a way to try to up your average a little bit. Do every little thing. They're doing every little thing, and it's not working
right now. No, it's not.
What they did worked better before. And that was what Bryce said, hey, guys, we're not doing that anymore. So that really did. I think it set him back.
All right, so look, there's a lot on the table here. There's obviously last night's game, 215-592-9494. But there's also the big picture with the Phillies, what you're thinking about what we got this year with the ball club. And as John's pointed out, do you think they should revert back to some of that stuff? I mean, Ike has talked in the past. week about maybe they should just go back to hitting the way they did last year, just take a shot that way again. John's talking about maybe going back to the daycare, take a shot that way. Or do you think as they trade...
But now it's going to be contrived if you really go back. The point is they need to find whoever they are, and this team needs to be whatever it is. Yeah. It doesn't know its identity yet.
Well, I'll
say this.
It doesn't
know how it plays its best baseball.
Yeah.
And so they're sitting there trying too hard, trying to do too much, and it's not working.
I'll just say this. To me, far bigger is Aaron Nola and Trey Turner with a combined $500 million, basically. $500 million. They're just... not doing the job.
That's a problem.
All right. Your reaction on all this, man. It's a big Phillies day, but we're going to get to the draft as well. 2 days to the first pick, 32nd in the first round, the whole deal. You know the deal. 215-592-9494. You wake up this morning thinking, what about the Phillies? Let us know. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP.
Imagine a home that's consistently comfortable no matter the weather outside, which is going to be pretty gorgeous today, with energy-efficient windows from Window Nation. That dream can become a reality. Say goodbye to those cold, drafty spots because Window Nation builds their windows with top-quality insulation and seals, making them some of the best insulated options available.
Tell you that I can feel a difference in my home. My home actually feels cozier, and I love the features of the new windows. My kids and I enjoyed over Easter the inward tilt feature. It is fantastic. And I know, I'm certain we're going to save more than a couple bucks on the heating and cooling bills, but don't just take our word for it. Window Nation has a 96% customer satisfaction rating and over 20,000 five-star reviews, so you know you're in great hands.
And get this, right now they have a buy four, get four free sale, plus you could get zero interest and zero payments until 2027. And if you get windows for your whole house, they give you a free entry door.
This amazing sale ends April 30th, so don't delay. Schedule your fast free estimate today by calling 866-90-NATION or visiting windownation.com.
brought to you by Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa.
Diaz ready, and the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss, struck him out on a ball in the dirt. Three pitches to put away Harper, and that'll do it for the Phillies. They drop the opener of the series, their second straight loss as they fall to the Mets 5-4.
Scott Francy, the call is Harper and Trey Turner coming up short after the Phillies had scored four runs in the ninth to draw within a run of the Mets. Aaron Nola gave up homers to lead off the first and second. He did settle down a bit till the seventh when he put two on, replaced by Jose Ruiz, who gave up the second homer of the day to Francisco Lindor, three-run shot. Nola, 0-5 with a 6-plus ERA, and at least while the Knicks lost 194 to the Detroit Pistons, their first playoff win since 08, series tied at 1. Visit BorgataSports.com for boosted odds specials, daily promotions, in-game betting, and much more. Must be 21 or older, must be in New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Partly sunny, breezy, a high of 78. It is currently 59. Join us for a special one-night-only event with Eagles legend Brandon Graham. Get your tickets to BG Live on 5-5 right now on 94WIP.com.
Yeah, frustrating game last night. Your chance to weigh in, obviously. Good morning to you. 215-592-9494. That last at bat by Bryce was bad. A lot that led up to it by a lot of them was not good. Huge out at one point by Schwarber, who's obviously been their best hitter this year. Another big out at a certain point by JT, who's been probably one of their two or three worst hitters amongst the main guys. And I really wonder about his bat speed. He just wasn't even close to that one. And the clock is ticking. You know, he's caught a lot of games. He's played a lot of games. And he just, to me, looks like a diminished player, which is a shame because he's given the game a ton. He's given the Phillies a ton. He's just done, in my opinion, he does not have nearly what he used to have, you know, as recently as 2 or 3 years ago. 215-592. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I am. 215-592-9494. James, seventh inning last night.
Yes.
Eighth inning. What was rattling through your Phillies' mind? I don't mean small picture last night, per se. What was rattling through your Phillies' mind last night around 9 o'clock?
So, a few things. Like, honestly, all ends of the spectrum. I mean, part of me is thinking the Mets own this team. Part of me is thinking if we were watching a game at this time last year, the Phillies would be dominating, and we'd be saying the Phillies are such a better team than the Mets. And a lot can change over the course of the season. So
Mets proved last year.
Exactly. Yeah. That's my point. Yeah. So, I really was trying to keep it on both sides. The thing that's frustrating me the most right now, two things. The inconsistency of the offense, the one big inning thing, like, I need this offense to hit throughout a baseball game. Like, I need them not to just be dormant for eight innings and have one inning, whenever that inning is in a game, and that be it. Like, that is incredibly frustrating. And, like, the bullpen thing, it's just, I know we talk about it every day, but night after night after night, again, like, they can't use Strom, Kirkering, and Alvarado every single game. There is no one else we trust. Not one person. They can't bring in one guy who I trust other than those three. And even, you know, those three, it's, you know, we know can be hit or miss. So
yes.
For me right now, the inconsistency offense, which feels fixable, the bullpen is the biggest problem with this team, bar none, by far. It's massive.
It's interesting you say offense fixable. I actually think the bullpen's more fixable than the offense. Because who are they going to change? Are they really going to make a trade? I don't think so. I think what you got is what you got. Bullpen is where I actually could see more improvement.
I agree. I think it's easier to fix the bullpen. Yeah. I'm just saying I think the bullpen is a much bigger problem than the lineup
now. It's worse right now.
That's
right.
What I'm trying to
say. That is crystal clear. All right, coming up in 1 minute, your reaction on everything with the Phils, the small picture meaning last night, the big picture meaning this season. Your phone calls, hop aboard, 215-592-9494. Right to the calls coming up in 1 minute. Hey, let me tell you about PI Dental Center. With their decades of experience in complex dental treatment, and I've been a patient of PI Dental now for 2 decades. My mom, a patient there for 3 decades with Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough. Both sensational with what they do. Both board-certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. They cannot fix the bullpen, but they can fix your teeth if you're having a major issue. Get yourself there. They're located in Fort Washington. I know for a lot of people, it's actually a self-esteem issue. You actually just don't like the way you look. And that's obviously very unfortunate for you if that's the way you feel. So know that you can look different. You can feel different by getting yourself to PI Dental Center. And obviously, if you got major pain, they can solve that as well. PI Dental Center, the originators of the teeth in a day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere one day. Start with their website, PIDentalCenter.com. Visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation. All right, good morning to you. 215-592-9494. The fills are irritating, and they may simply not be good enough. I'm not ready to declare for sure they aren't, you know, good enough, but man, my God. Let's go to Tom right now. Tom, good morning.
Yo, Joe, how you doing, man?
I'm disappointed in our team, Tom, and I'm kind of disappointed in myself because I pegged them to be better than this. I really did.
The product's grown stale between the general manager who's supposed to get you over. He's been overrated. A coach whose temperament, God bless him, I wish I could control my temper like that. And, you know, the bullpen and the bench. I mean, you know, you got Stevenson, Clemens, a weak farm system, and the age of the team. But you hit it on the head with Turner and Nola. You give out them long-term guaranteed contracts. And in the ninth inning, I got very upset last night because they come back. There's one out. Turner and Harper, how about maybe somebody laying down a bunt or something right there? They strike out 13 times.
Well, I don't agree with that moment. In that moment, Tom, you're a swing away from tying it, and Trey and Bryce are two of your best at doing that. Not just tying it, doubles and stuff. I would not advise a bunt there. If it's Ross,
I'd advise more competitive at bats.
I agree with that.
I would advise at least Trey trying to get on base rather than hit a home run. Bryce in that spot, he did it poorly. It was a bad at bat.
It was.
But I understand Bryce going up there and thinking, I got to pop one out.
Yep.
Like, Trey, you got two outs left, man.
They have too many guys hitting for power when they should have guys hitting for average and more speed they need. And Turner, you know, I'm really disappointed in him, man. He should be the one dictating towards them about going to left field or somewhere out in the outfield. We could have right-handed bats all in the outfield. You stick Sosa on second, Stott on short, and that would be – there's too many left-handed hitters, man, and no bench whatsoever.
Well, you got one bench piece in Sosa, so we can't say none whatsoever because he's done a nice job, and he's obviously the 10th guy. But
the only thing last night, Banks, that was a little positive. He came in there and struck out the side. He looked decent. So, I mean, if you're going to take a positive, and Nola did battle. I mean, he did come back.
He did.
He didn't quit. You know, so it's something to be said.
Yeah, but not enough to
I
be said.
I don't know, though. Like, I don't even know. Is there something to be said?
Nola disqualifies his battling. The argument that he battled is disqualified by a seventh inning. It just is.
I think we need to change our expectations for Aaron Nola. Like, I understand the contract, but he's not the pitcher who they gave the contract to. Like, he's just not. You know, he is much closer to a four than a two now. And I think that's what we get from Aaron Nola moving forward. I think he's a really good four, you know, maybe a three at best on his best days. But Aaron Nola's just not that guy anymore.
Joe,
he's not.
How do you give a contract, that contract, to a guy where all you keep telling me is he can't pitch in the cold? October can get chilly around here. I mean, they got it. Rob Thompson has got to knock that off.
Some of Rob Thompson's comments are ignorant. And let me be clear, not necessarily what I'd call baseball ignorant per se, PR ignorant. People don't want to hear it. Like, even if it's like when Dombrowski said to us in March in Clearwater, well, if you look at the other teams at bats in the postseason, you know, we were actually in the middle of the pack for chasing pitches. Even if that's true, and I don't know that it is, but even if it's true, I don't want to hear it.
Don't care, buddy.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Don't care.
Nobody wants to hear that. 215-592-9494. Coming up, Cam Jurgens obviously got a big old contract and talked about it yesterday. We'll get to Jurgens on the back surgery that he had after the season. More on Rob Thompson, including what he said about Aaron Nola after the game. And Daniel Jeremiah weighing in on the Eagles. And something interesting yesterday that may or may not have been about the Eagles and Howie Roseman. What that is, if you haven't heard this is interesting. We'll get to that next as well. Your phone calls, 215-592-9494, and your chance to win Phillies tickets today. That's all up ahead next on 94WIP.
Here's what's happening at Borgata. Don't miss out on the action at Borgata's Poker Room, where great cards, lucky seats, and high hands bring excitement to every player. Open 7 days a week. Excitement is waiting, and you are only miles away from your happy place. Experience award-winning restaurants, exciting bars, live music, big name entertainment, and a spacious casino filled with your favorite slots and table games. The action at Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa does not stop. So start planning your getaway today. Visit theborgata.com for more details. Bryce Harper and Trey Turner both struck out in the bottom of the ninth to end the Phillies' rally after Bryson Stott drew the Phils within one on a three-run homer. Harper on three strikes, two of which were clearly out of the zone, third strike in the dirt as the Phils dropped their series opener at the Mets 5-4. Aaron Nola gave up homers to start the first and second. Nearly a three-run shot in the third ruled foul. He would go into the seven, putting two men in, enter the bullpen. Watch a three-run home run leave by Francisco Lindor off Jose Ruiz. Rob Thompson thinks the conditions are not favoring Nola, who is 0-5 with an ERA over 6.
I think it's really more due to the weather. I don't think he gets going in cooler weather. I think he likes it hot.
Well, it'll be warm here today. Partly sunny, high 78, currently 59. Join us for a special one-night-only event with Eagles legend Brandon Graham. Get your tickets to BG Live on 5-5 right now on 94WIP.com.
So, you know, that Rob Thompson answer irritates me on a lot of levels. Even if it's true, and I think it is, number one, people don't want to hear it. Number two, and this is the more important point, it's Rob Thompson's job to drive the athlete through the issue. Now, don't get me wrong. It's ultimately Aaron frickin' Nola's job to drive himself through the issue. But it's like, you know, could you imagine, and I hate to go to an all-timer, but let's just take Vince Lombardi. I mean, John, could you imagine Bart Starr coming over and saying to Vince Lombardi, like, sorry, coach, it's cold out? Like, I know it's a different sport, but it's also about throwing the ball. Like, you know, like, at a certain point, it's not acceptable to just fall back on that, even if it's true. What you have to do is dig down, work through it, and not allow that to be the hindrance that it's been. That's the whole thing. And so, two different things. I don't want Rob Thompson to say it, and I don't want Aaron Nola and Rob Thompson to lean on it like it's a crutch. Right? I mean, I don't think that's that complex. Very aggravating. Very, very aggravating, man. All right, 215-592-9494.
Well, what is the problem? Have they identified why he can't throw the ball as fast, like significantly so, all of his pitches? Have they discussed that? Have they said, hey, you know, like he's a tick down, and we're accustomed to seeing this during spring training, and so there is an explanation. He's just a little slower coming up to speed this year. Is that what this is?
Well, I don't.
It doesn't seem like anyone is as panicked as I feel by the fact that Aaron Nola, who was our two up until...
Oh, I think people are panicked. I mean, panic might be a little strong, but I think people are concerned slash highly concerned.
Oh, my gosh. He's now 0-5.
Yeah.
You know, he accounts for half of our losses on the season, and it's not fluky like he's pitching great.
No doubt.
He's pitching just meh.
Yeah.
And then, oh, by the way, he's also lost a mile and a half on his fastball.
I know. All right, so like the whole Phillies thing with Aaron Nola on the table. Now, I want to present some Eagles stuff to you as well, including today's Twitter poll questions of the day. We got two of them, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Obviously, the bulk of Eagles draft talk has been about all these college kids, juniors and seniors, who they can get with pick 32. Do they move up? Do they stay at 32? Do they move back a couple spots? I mean, you know the deal. Bunch of names there. It's like 15 or 20 different names to consider. That's been the bulk of conversation. But we also should acknowledge they could trade it for a veteran. They could. I mean, they did that 15 or so years ago for Jason Peters. They did it a couple years ago for A.J. Brown. Could do that. There are two enticing names that may be available, that may require a first-round pick to get. Twitter poll questions. We're just going to present it to you. Would you do the trade? First one, would you trade the first, you know, Eagles pick, pick 32? For T.J. Watt, yes or no? Like, if you're all in to win a Super Bowl, T.J. Watt, come on in. Now you probably have to give him a lot more money. But, like, you get T.J. Watt.
Oh my
gosh. By the way, I don't know that you could do this, but a lot of people think, yeah, you know, with where he is deep into his career at this point, deeper, than he'd been a couple years ago, yeah, maybe you can get T.J. Watt for the 32nd pick. T.J. Watt, yes or no, would you do it? Second one, same concept, just different player.
Trey, can I sign up?
You can sign
can
up,
I
John.
Sign up? Okay. For both?
Second one, Trey Hendrickson.
Either or, I'll take, can I choose?
Do you even? Yeah, well, in this case, choose. So you're saying yes for both, and if you had to pick one, which would it be?
They're both exactly the same age, I think. I think they're both 30, or they're going to be 30 this upcoming season. So that would be a major differentiator here. Yeah,
and you
that
would not,
is the only reason why these guys might be
available for. Yeah. I mean, you would not normally trade a first round pick for a 30-year-old unless it's, you know, a quarterback who's going to play for the next 7 or 8 years.
The problem is with these deals, you then have to pay.
That's the other problem.
Which is so unlike the MO of what has gotten us ahead of the game.
That's right.
So, you know, while I love the idea of trading away a pick for a tried and true, going to be all pro.
Star. Yeah. Like real star.
I don't think the Eagles are likely to do that.
Yeah, I don't either, but it's something to consider. There's no question. Now, something else.
Stars in my eyes, though. that would be awesome. T.J. Watt. Coming off the edge.
By the way, for those not watching us on YouTube, and you should, check it out, whether it's the whole show or just to see a few minutes sometimes, see what it really looks like in here. When I said, you know, would you do the trade? John, he was like back in second grade. He literally put his hand in the air like, teacher, call on me. Call on me. I'll do the trade. So watch our show when you can. By the way, later in the program, we'll get to some YouTube comments.
You don't raise your hand?
Hello, I'd like
to know. Not since school. I have not raised my hand for stuff. No.
Every once in a while, but it's rare.
Not on the radio, for sure.
Well, that's the other thing on the radio. But at least, you know, we used to have these signals that were nonverbal that we would have with our program. And now, like, people can see our nonverbal signals. Mm-hmm. It's a little icky, frankly.
You guys stop giving me the finger during the show,
yes.
Joe. That's the problem.
That's
exactly
right. Something like that. All right, so would you do a trade like that for Hendrickson or Watt? Yes or no, you can weigh in, 215-592-9494. Also up ahead, another option for the Eagles at 32. Did Daniel Jeremiah yesterday spill the beans on something Howie's thinking about? Interesting audio. You got to hear this. We get to it in 1 minute.
You're ready to propose. And yes, it can be a bit intimidating shopping for the diamond. And that's why men all around the area will tell you, no matter what, you have to visit Benari Jewelers. They have a way of transforming intimidating into informative and confusing into crystal clarity. Here's how. The Benari team starts by putting you at ease, showing you every single thing you need to know about making that important purchase. How to evaluate the cut, color, and clarity. No hard sales, just education, putting you in the driver's seat. You'll feel like an expert browsing through the largest selection of diamonds. Not just any diamonds. These are hand-selected with only a few making the grade to become a Benari diamond. The others land at big box jewelers with high-pressure sales to move them along. With Benari diamonds, the value shines through. You'll walk away with a superior diamond that she'll love for years to come. Benari Jewelers, when ordinary won't do. Everything at Benari is extraordinary. Exton in Newtown Square, online at BenariJewelers.com.
All right, good morning to you. So every once in a while in sports, and with us in Sports Talk Radio, we try to dissect something that was said or seen and try to decipher, is that a tell on something? Like, you guys remember a couple years, like 10 years ago, Sixers were in the tank years, and Dr. J was at the draft lottery, and we were all wondering if it had been, what was the thing?
Pre-recorded, I think it was.
Pre-recorded, like if the Sixers had already won the number one pick. Mm-hmm. Remember that whole thing? Whatever that was, because something
was.
It's
been a weird, 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 like, dozen years.
It really has.
I mean, my God.
It really, really has. So every once in a while, you're trying to figure out, like, what does this mean? What someone said or what someone expresses with their, you know, their face or whatever. So this is a verbal one, John. Daniel Jeremiah, obviously, I'd say at this point, you know, top three notable draft Nick. You know, Mel talks, McShay talks, Jeremiah talk, people listen. Well, Daniel Jeremiah talked yesterday with Mina Kimes, and he said something that a lot of people think may have been from Howie. May not have been. I want to be really clear. This might not have come from Howie Roseman, but it might have. Dallas Goedert probably isn't going to be on the team. Eagles could draft a tight end in the first or second round. Jeremiah used to work for Howie and is believed that they have a good relationship. So is Daniel Jeremiah spilling beans that Howie would probably prefer he not spill? You be the judge. Listen to Daniel Jeremiah yesterday.
When I started mapping this out, I was I'll tell you afterwards, but with one of the better GMs in the league, and we were going through guys, and it was like you start getting to the end of the round, you start looking at names, and it's like, I know exactly what I'm buying with Mason Taylor. Like the rest of these guys, it's some hit and miss, and he's like, I know exactly who and what he is. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right, Eagles obviously pick at the very end of the round. I don't think the guy picking 15th is probably talking about, you know, the very end of the round. Obviously, if you're talking about a very good GM, there's probably only 5 to 7.
GM maybe?
Say it again? Well, sure, he would have to qualify, yeah. I mean, the Ravens GM would have to qualify. I mean, teams that typically turn over good players in and out. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean in a good way.
But like Jeremiah didn't work for those other ones.
Like, he's not talking about Joe Shane. All right, who, by the way, picks early in the second round, which is near the end of the first round. He ain't talking about that guy. He's not talking about Cleveland's guy. He's not talking about the Raiders guy. He's not. John Ritchie, Mason Taylor, who, of course, comes from pedigree, and is at a position that probably is need, assuming that Dallas Goedert's gone. Gut feeling, do you think he was talking about Howie?
Yes.
I do, too.
Absolutely.
I do, too.
Oh,
Howie's not happy. Seltzer is not happy this morning.
How could he be?
Right?
Daniel Jeremiah has to be careful about that. Even just saying I was talking to a GM like in that range is dangerous.
Yeah, it's too much.
He should have said I was talking to a general manager. Boom.
100%. You know, I mean,
it does sound like the Eagles like.
I mean, listen, I don't want to leap to the conclusion, but I'm about 75% of the way to the conclusion. Now, for what it's worth, in Mel Kiper's latest mock.
That's exciting.
Well, Mel Kiper, here's something even more exciting, perhaps. Mel Kiper's latest mock draft, he's got Taylor going 51, which means that could be one of two things, if not pick 32. Trade down or trade up in the second round. You know, you got different ways to get there. So, you know, do I expect the Eagles to take the tight end at 32? Probably not, but you got different ways to get it done.
Well, you know, the fact that Mason Taylor is Jason Taylor's son and really does have that pedigree, that matters in
Zach
a lot of
Thomas's
people's eyes.
Thomas's nephew, too, which is odd.
And, yeah, because that's right. The brother married the sister, right? Or he married the sister.
Yes, I believe.
Yeah, how about that?
So but that he looks like his dad. That's the thing. He build-wise, that. You know, his dad was really slender.
Yeah, I remember
as
that.
A defensive end.
Sure.
Back when defensive ends weighed, I don't know, 285 pounds.
Can this guy block, John?
Because
you got to block in this offense.
No, he's not as good as Dallas Goedert. Now, the thing is, he's just a marvelous, just magnificent athlete and route runner and ball. You know.
I'll say
reader
I'll,
in the air.
Let me
His
just say
hands
this.
Are incredible.
I feel really confident with this statement because of the way the Eagles run their offense, primarily due to Jalen's extreme running capabilities, awesome running capabilities, which he re-tapped into last year in a much more effective way, coupled with Saquon, obviously all-time running back. I believe in my lifetime, it has never been more important in an era of football for the Eagles to have a blocking tight end. Even if he's not that good at catching the ball. I really mean it. Like, I think having a guy on the edge with this offense who seals the edge, in my opinion, is more important for this team than any Eagles team I've ever seen. So if someone can't block, I really don't want him to be the starting tight end, being honest. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Patrick, well, and go ahead, John.
I do think a balanced tight end matters because if – especially if we're going to be rolling with a lot of the ride and decide stuff.
Yeah, well, that's
you
what
know,
they
like
do.
The pull reads and like when the tight end ends up being an early read in that progression or the first read in the flat in that progression, it really is an important part of the way that you move the
I know
football.
It is.
So blocking does matter. The edge, controlling the edge in the run game is what matters, and a tight end is the guy that can do that. I don't think Mason Taylor can walk in here and control the edge in the run game in the NFL.
See, I see that as a
problem.
Dallas
Goedert is capable of doing that.
For this offense, that's a problem.
I don't know if it's even reasonable to expect young tight ends to get that done in today's world. I think they need to be trained to block at an NFL level. The game really does take another step. So they're all going to have to learn on the fly and figure this thing out as a blocker. They are featured. They're the best athletes on their team right now at the college level. And now you're going to be asked to stick your face on people and do things that hurt you just as much as they hurt the other guy. Some guys don't ever make that transition.
Well, that's
some
right.
guys aren't able to do that.
By the way, when you call in today, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Phils. Phils and Nationals next week, a week from now. Tuesday night of next week at Citizens Bank Park. It's a Hatfield Franks buy one, get one free night. Two hot dogs for the price of one. For tickets to this or any Phillies game, get yourself to Phillies.com. Here's how you can win the tickets when you call into our program today, whether it's a react to last night's Phillies game or obviously, you know, your thoughts on the draft now just 2 days away. All of it at 215-592-9494. We ask you this question. What was a really big deal in the 1990s that could still be a big deal but isn't anymore? And here's what I mean by could still be a big deal. So an answer like the O.J. trial or O.J. or Bill Clinton's presidency, like that's all done. O.J.'s dead. The trial's over. Bill Clinton can't be president again. Like stuff like that can't be nearly as big a deal. And in some cases, you know, if someone's dead, like that's it. As Mike Tyson said, you're dead. You're dead. That's it.
Right.
But what could still be a big deal that was, you know, 25, 30 years ago, but isn't? Best answer ever, because we were talking about, you know, the band Silver Chair Band before the show.
Silver Chair Band.
What?
That was unbelievable.
Just the way he said it.
Can
like
we cut that?
I don't know these guys.
Silver Chair Band. He called it Silver Chair Band.
Isn't that
band.
Their name?
Holy cow. It's just Silver Chair.
Well,
they
really
were a
chair
big deal.
Band.
They were a huge deal back in
Led Zeppelin band.
1993, 4, 5, young kids from Australia.
I
drove across the country from Mechanicsburg to Palo Alto, I was listening to a tape of Silverchair and a tape of the first Foo Fighters album. So they were concurrent.
Mm-hmm.
So 1995, Silverchair was at its peak.
Okay,
and they were like 16-year-old kids from Australia.
So big deal then, not now. Here's the question, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. What was big then could still be alive, could be relevant, but not that relevant anymore. John Ritchie, best answer whoever provides it is one of the Phillies tickets. Give me a little something here. What do you got?
Oh, speaking of something I just mentioned, the answering machine, answering machine that
absolutely.
You press play, you press rewind, you have to actually physically control. This definitely died in the 90s.
Well, totally.
There's a tape in there that you can see rewinding.
No question. I will say, this is just me. You guys can vote the way you want to vote. I'm less inclined to vote for something that's taken out by technology than not. Like that was basically just a cell phone replaced it, and that's that. But okay, Seltzer. What could still be a big deal, but isn't?
So I will pivot then, because I was going to go with the technology.
You can go with
one. Okay, I'll go
like
with
like the fax machine.
No, I was going to go with this.
Yeah, dial up.
Oh my!
Listen, it's all on the table.
Infuriating. That's the thing.
Horrible.
My blood pressure just spiked.
It's a horrible sound.
When I heard
it's
that.
A hard. Listen,
but I think my kid that's 14, if she hears that, she's like, what? She has no idea what she's hearing.
No, she doesn't even know what it is. All right, there are so many big answers, and maybe these guys are right. Maybe it should just be something technology-based that's obsolete based on new technology. Rhea, what do you got?
Relief pitchers pitching more than two consecutive days.
That's no question in sports.
I mean, you know, when I was watching it, you know, 80s, 90s, we never even thought about it.
No, we didn't. And you only had five guys in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Five, maybe six. Now it's like you got 17 guys in the bullpen.
The guy who holds the record, I think, for the field, Kent Tecolvay.
Yeah, Tecolvay, yeah.
9 consecutive days.
Yeah. I remember J.C. Romero in 07.
Yep.
He pitched almost every day in September.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I mean, you check out his stats in 07. It was almost every game. All right, big answer, obviously, for what was a big deal then or who was a big deal then. could still be, but no longer is. I'm going to go with the late night comedy shows. I mean, my God. I mean, first off, you had Carson, then you had Leno and Letterman, and you had Arsenio. And now it's like, yeah, we got guys, but the ratings got to be a paltry
Arsenio
share.
Arsenio was amazing.
I know he was. I loved Arsenio, man. Loved
Magic
him.
Johnson.
How long was Arsenio?
No, on? Magic. Yeah, Magic Johnson Jack, all
was
that.
Not awesome.
All right, give us a big answer, guys, for what was a big deal, could still be, but it's not. 215-592-9494. Ruben Amaro, always a big deal. He joins us in studio next. We'll get into the Cam Jurgens situation with a new deal and phone calls and all, including your frustrations with the Phils. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP. Yeah, frustrating game last night. Your chance to weigh in, obviously. Good morning to you. 215-592-9494. That last at-bat by Bryce was bad. A lot that led up to it by a lot of them was not good. Huge out at one point by Schwarber, who's obviously been their best hitter this year. Another big out at a certain point by JT, who's been probably one of their two or three worst hitters amongst the main guys. And I really wonder about his bat speed. He just wasn't even close to that one. And the clock is ticking. You know, he's caught a lot of games. He's played a lot of games. And he just, to me, looks like a diminished player, which is a shame because he's given the game a ton. He's given the Phillies a ton. He's just done, in my opinion, he does not have nearly what he used to have, you know, as recently as 2 or 3 years ago. 215-592. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I am. 215-592-9494. James, seventh inning last night.
Yes.
Eighth inning. What was rattling through your Phillies' mind? I don't mean small picture last night per se. What was rattling through your Phillies' mind last night around 9 o'clock?
So, a few things. Honestly, all ends of the spectrum. I mean, part of me is thinking the Mets own this team. Part of me is thinking if we were watching a game at this time last year, the Phillies would be dominating, and we'd be saying the Phillies are such a better team than the Mets. And a lot can change over the course of the season. So
the Mets proved last year.
Exactly. Yeah. That's my point. Yeah. So, I really was trying to keep it on both sides. The thing that's frustrating me the most right now, two things. The inconsistency of the offense, the one big inning thing, like, I need this offense to hit throughout a baseball game. Like, I need them not to just be dormant for 8 innings and have one inning, whenever that inning is in a game, yeah. And that be it. Like, that is incredibly frustrating. And, like, the bullpen thing, it's just, I know we talk about it every day, but night after night after night, again, like, they can't use Strom, Kirkering, and Alvarado every single game. There is no one else we trust. Not one person. They can't bring in one guy who I trust other than those three. And even, you know, those three, it's, you know, we know can be hit or miss. So
yes.
For me right now, the inconsistency offense, which feels fixable, the bullpen is the biggest problem with this team, bar none, by far. It's massive.
It's interesting you say offense fixable. I actually think the bullpen's more fixable than the offense. Because who are they going to change? Are they really going to make a trade? I don't think so. I think what you got is what you got. Bullpen is where I actually could see more improvement.
I agree. I think it's easier to fix the bullpen. Yeah. I'm just saying I think the bullpen is a much bigger problem than the lineup
now. It's worse right now.
That's
right.
What I'm trying to say.
That is crystal clear. All right, coming up in 1 minute, your reaction on everything with the Phils, the small picture meaning last night, the big picture meaning this season. Your phone calls, hop aboard, 215-592-9494. Right to the calls coming up in 1 minute. Hey, let me tell you about PI Dental Center with their decades of experience in complex dental treatment. And I've been a patient of PI Dental now for 2 decades. My mom, a patient there for 3 decades with Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough. Both sensational with what they do. Both board-certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. They cannot fix the bullpen, but they can fix your teeth if you're having a major issue. Get yourself there. They're located in Fort Washington. I know for a lot of people, it's actually a self-esteem issue. You actually just don't like the way you look. And that's obviously very unfortunate for you if that's the way you feel. So know that you can look different. You can feel different by getting yourself to PI Dental Center. And obviously, if you got major pain, they can solve that as well. PI Dental Center, the originators of the teeth in a day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere 1 day. Start with their website, PIDentalCenter.com. Visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation. All right, good morning to you. 215-592-9494. The Phils are irritating, and they may simply not be good enough. I'm not ready to declare for sure they aren't, you know, good enough, but, man, my God. Let's go to Tom right now. Tom, good morning.
Yo, Joe, how you doing, man?
I'm disappointed in our team, Tom, and I'm kind of disappointed in myself because I pegged them to be better than this. I really did.
The product's grown stale between the general manager who's supposed to get you over. He's been overrated. A coach whose temperament, God bless him, I wish I could control my temper like that. And, you know, the bullpen and the bench. I mean, you know, you got Stevenson, Clemens, a weak farm system, and the age of the team. But you hit it on the head with Turner and Nola. You give out them long-term guaranteed contracts. And in the ninth inning, I got very upset last night because they come back. There's one out. Turner and Harper, how about maybe somebody laying down a bunt or something right there? They strike out 13 times.
Well, I don't agree with that moment. In that moment, Tom, you're a swing away from tying it, and Trey and Bryce are two of your best at doing that. Not just tying it, doubles and stuff. I would not advise a bunt there. If it's Rojas,
I'd advise more competitive at bats.
I agree with that.
I would advise at least Trey trying to get on base rather than hit a home run. Bryce in that spot, he did it poorly. It was a bad at bat.
It was.
But I understand Bryce going up there and thinking, I got to pop one out.
Yep.
Like, Trey, you got two outs left, man.
They have too many guys hitting for power when they should have guys hitting for average and more speed they need. And Turner, you know, I'm really disappointed in him, man. He should be the one dictating towards them about going to left field or somewhere out in the outfield. We could have right-handed bats all in the outfield. You stick Sosa on second, Stott on short, and that would be – there's too many left-handed hitters, man, and no bench whatsoever.
Well, you got one bench piece in Sosa, so we can't say none whatsoever because he's done a nice job, and he's obviously the 10th guy. But
the only thing last night, Banks, that was a little positive. He came in there and struck out the side. He looked decent. So, I mean, if you're going to take a positive, and Nola did battle. I mean, he did come back.
He did.
He didn't quit, you know, so it's something to be said.
Yeah, but not enough to
I
be said.
I don't know, though. I don't even know. Is there something to
Nola,
be said?
Nola disqualifies his battling. The argument that he battled is disqualified by a seventh inning. It just is.
I think we need to change our expectations for Aaron Nola. Like, I understand the contract, but he's not the pitcher who they gave the contract to. Like, he's just not. You know, he is much closer to a 4 than a 2 now. And I think that's what we get from Aaron Nola moving forward. I think he's a really good 4, you know, maybe a 3 at best on his best days. But Aaron Nola's just not that guy anymore.
Joe,
he's not.
How do you give that contract to a guy where all you keep telling me is he can't pitch in the cold? October can get chilly around here. I mean, they got it. Rob Thompson has got to knock that off.
Some of Rob Thompson's comments are ignorant. And let me be clear, not necessarily what I'd call baseball ignorant per se, PR ignorant. People don't want to hear it. Like, even if it's like when Dombrowski said to us in March in Clearwater, well, if you look at the other teams at bats in the postseason, you know, we were actually in the middle of the pack for chasing pitches. Even if that's true, and I don't know that it is, but even if it's true, I don't want to hear it.
Don't care, buddy.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Don't care.
Nobody wants to hear that. 215-592-9494. Coming up, Cam Jurgens obviously got a big old contract and talked about it yesterday. We'll get to Jurgens on the back surgery that he had after the season. More on Rob Thompson, including what he said about Aaron Nola after the game. And Daniel Jeremiah weighing in on the Eagles. And something interesting yesterday that may or may not have been about the Eagles and Howie Roseman. What that is, if you haven't heard this is interesting. We'll get to that next as well. Your phone calls, 215-592-9494, and your chance to win Phillies tickets today. That's all up ahead next on 94WIP.
Here's what's happening at Borgata. Don't miss out on the action at Borgata's Poker Room, where great cards, lucky seats, and high hands bring excitement to every player. Open 7 days a week. Excitement is waiting, and you are only miles away from your happy place. Experience award-winning restaurants, exciting bars, live music, big-name entertainment, and a spacious casino filled with your favorite slots and table games. The action at Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa does not stop. So start planning your getaway today. Visit theborgata.com for more details.
You know, that Rob Thompson answer irritates me on a lot of levels. Even if it's true, and I think it is,
Number one, people don't want to hear it. Number two, and this is the more important point, it's Rob Thompson's job to drive the athlete through the issue. Now, don't get me wrong. It's ultimately Aaron frickin' Nola's job to drive himself through the issue. But it's like, you know, could you imagine, and I hate to go to an all-time all-timer, but let's just take Vince Lombardi. I mean, John, could you imagine Bart Starr coming over and saying to Vince Lombardi, like, sorry, coach, it's cold out? Like, I know it's a different sport, but it's also about throwing the ball. Like, you know, like, at a certain point, it's not acceptable to just fall back on that, even if it's true. What you have to do is dig down, work through it, and not allow that to be the hindrance that it's been. That's the whole thing. And so, two different things. I don't want Rob Thompson to say it, and I don't want Aaron Nola and Rob Thompson to lean on it like it's a crutch. Right? I mean, I don't think that's that complex. Very, very aggravating. Very, very aggravating, man. All right, 215-592-9494.
Well, what is the problem? Have they identified why he can't throw the ball as fast, like significantly so, all of his pitches? Have they discussed that? Have they said, hey, you know, like he's a tick down, and we're accustomed to seeing this during spring training, and so there is an explanation. He's just a little slower coming up to speed this year. Is that what this is?
Well, I don't.
It doesn't seem like anyone is as panicked as I feel by the fact that Aaron Nola, who was our two up until...
Oh, I think people are panicked. I mean, panic might be a little strong, but I think people are concerned slash highly concerned.
Oh my gosh. He's now 0-5.
Yeah.
You know, he accounts for half of our losses on the season, and it's not fluky like he's pitching great.
No doubt.
He's pitching just meh.
Yeah.
And then, oh, by the way, he's also lost a mile and a half on his fastball.
I know. All right, so like the whole Phillies thing with Aaron Nola on the table. Now, I want to present some Eagles stuff to you as well, including today's Twitter poll questions of the day. We got two of them, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Obviously, the bulk of Eagles draft talk has been about all these college kids, juniors and seniors, who they can get with pick 32. Do they move up? Do they stay at 32? Do they move back a couple spots? I mean, you know the deal. Bunch of names there's like 15 or 20 different names to consider. That's been the bulk of conversation. But we also should acknowledge they could trade it for a veteran. They could. I mean, they did that 15 or so years ago for Jason Peters. They did it a couple years ago for A.J. Brown. Could do that. There are two enticing names that may be available, that may require a first-round pick to get. Twitter poll questions. We're just going to present it to you. Would you do the trade? First one, would you trade the first, you know, Eagles pick, pick 32? For T.J. Watt, yes or no? Like, if you're all in to win a Super Bowl, T.J. Watt, come on in. Now you probably have to give him a lot more money. But, like, you get T.J. Watt.
Oh my gosh.
And by the way, I don't know that you could do this, but a lot of people think, you know, with where he is deep into his career at this point, deeper than he'd been a couple years ago, yeah, maybe you can get T.J. Watt for the 32nd pick. T.J. Watt, yes or no, would you do it? Second one, same concept, just different player.
Trey, can I sign up?
You can sign
can
up,
I
John.
Sign up? Okay. For both?
Second one, Trey Hendrickson.
Either or. I'll take, can I choose?
Do you even? Yeah, well, in this case, choose. So you're saying yes for both, and if you had to pick one, which would it be?
They're both exactly the same age, I think. I think they're both 30, or they're going to be 30 this upcoming season. So that would be a major differentiator here.
Yeah, and you
that
would
is
not,
the only reason why these guys might be
available for. Yeah. I mean, you would not normally trade a first round pick for a 30-year-old unless it's, you know, a quarterback who, you know, who's going to play for the next 7 or 8 years.
The problem is with these deals, you then have to pay.
That's the other problem,
which is so unlike the MO of what has gotten us ahead of the game.
That's right.
So, you know, while I love the idea of trading away a pick for a tried and true, going to be all pro.
Star.
Yeah.
Like real star.
I don't think the Eagles are likely to do that.
Yeah, I don't either, but it's something to consider. There's no question. Now, something else.
Stars in my eyes, though. That would be awesome. T.J. Watt. Coming off the edge.
By the way, for those not watching us on YouTube, and you should, check it out, whether it's the whole show or just to see a few minutes sometimes, see what it really looks like in here. When I said, you know, would you do the trade? John, he was like back in second grade. He literally put his hand in the air like, teacher, call on me. Call on me. I'll do the trade. So watch our show when you can. By the way, later in the program, we'll get to some YouTube comments.
You don't raise your hand?
Hello. I'd like
no, not since
thing.
Not since school. I have not raised my hand for stuff. No.
Every once in a while, but it's rare.
Yeah, not on the radio,
rare.
For sure.
Well, that's the other thing on the radio. But at least, you know, we used to have these signals that were nonverbal that we would have with our program. And now, like, we can, people can see our nonverbal signals. Mm-hmm. It's a little icky,
frankly. You guys stop giving me the finger during the show,
yes.
Joe. That's the problem.
That's
you know?
Exactly right. Something like that. All right, so would you do a trade like that for Henderson or Watt? Yes or no, you can weigh in, 215-592-9494. Also up ahead, another option for the Eagles at 32. Did Daniel Jeremiah yesterday spill the beans on something Howie's thinking about? Interesting audio. You got to hear this. We get to it in 1 minute.
You're ready to propose. And yes, it can be a bit intimidating shopping for the diamond. And that's why men all around the area will tell you, no matter what, you have to visit Benari Jewelers. They have a way of transforming intimidating into informative and confusing into crystal clarity. Here's how. The Benari team starts by putting you at ease, showing you every single thing you need to know about making that important purchase. How to evaluate the cut, color, and clarity. No hard sales, just education, putting you in the driver's seat. You'll feel like an expert browsing through the largest selection of diamonds. Not just any diamonds. These are hand-selected with only a few making the grade to become a Benari diamond. The others land at big box jewelers with high-pressure sales to move them along. With Benari diamonds, the value shines through. You'll walk away with a superior diamond that she'll love for years to come. Benari Jewelers, when ordinary won't do. Everything at Benari is extraordinary. Exton in Newtown Square, online at BenariJewelers.com.
All right, good morning to you. So every once in a while in sports, and with us in Sports Talk Radio, we try to dissect something that was said or seen and try to decipher, is that a tell on something? Like, you guys remember a couple years, like 10 years ago, Sixers were in the tank years, and Dr. J was at the draft lottery, and we were all wondering if it had been, what was the thing?
Pre-recorded, I think it was.
Pre-recorded, like if the Sixers had already won the number one pick. Mm-hmm. Remember that whole thing? Whatever that was, because something
it's
was...
It's been a weird, weird, like, dozen years.
It really has.
I mean, my God.
It really, really has. So every once in a while, you're trying to figure out, like, what does this mean? What someone said or what someone expresses with their, you know, their face or whatever. So this is a verbal one, John. Daniel Jeremiah, obviously, I'd say at this point, you know, top three notable draft Nick. You know, Mel talks, McShay talks, Jeremiah talk, people listen. Well, Daniel Jeremiah talked yesterday with Mina Kimes, and he said something that a lot of people think may have been from Howie. May not have been. I want to be really clear. This might not have come from Howie Roseman, but it might have. Dallas Goedert probably isn't going to be on the team. Eagles could draft a tight end in the first or second round. Jeremiah used to work for Howie and it is believed that they have a good relationship. So is Daniel Jeremiah spilling beans that Howie would probably prefer he not spill? You be the judge. Listen to Daniel Jeremiah yesterday.
When I started mapping this out, I was on with it. Well, I'll tell you afterwards, but with one of the better GMs in the league, and we were going through guys, and it was like, you start getting to the end of the round, you start looking at names, and it's like, I know exactly what I'm buying with Mason Taylor. Like, the rest of these guys, it's some hit and miss. And he's like, I know exactly who and what he is. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right. Eagles obviously pick at the very end of the round. I don't think the guy picking 15th is probably talking about, you know, the very end of the round. Obviously, if you're talking about a very good GM, there's probably only 5 to 7.
Maybe.
Say it again. Well, sure. He would have to qualify. Yeah. I mean, the Ravens GM would have to qualify. I mean, teams that typically turn over good players in and out, in and out. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean in a good way.
But like Daniel Jeremiah didn't work for those other ones.
Like, he's not talking about Joe Shane, all right, who, by the way, picks early in the second round, which is near the end of the first round. He ain't talking about that guy. He's not. He's not talking about Cleveland's guy. He's not. Not talking about the Raiders guy. Not. John Ritchie, Mason Taylor, who, of course, comes from pedigree and is at a position that probably is need, assuming that Dallas Goedert's gone. Gut feeling. You think he was talking about Howie?
Yes.
I do, too.
Absolutely.
I do, too.
I like...
Oh, Howie's not happy. Seltzer is not happy this morning.
How could he be?
Right?
You know, Daniel Jeremiah has to be careful about that. Even just saying I was talking to a GM like in that range is dangerous.
Yeah, it's too much.
He should have said I was talking to a general manager. Boom.
100%. You know, I mean, it's,
so it does sound like the Eagles like.
I mean, listen, I don't want to leap to the conclusion, but I'm about 75% of the way to the conclusion. Now, for what it's worth, in Mel Kiper's latest
mock. That's exciting.
Well, Mel Kiper, here's something even more exciting, perhaps. Mel Kiper's latest mock draft, he's got Taylor going 51, which means that could be one of two things, if not pick 32. Trade down or trade up in the second round. You know, you got different ways to get there. So, you know, do I expect the Eagles to take the tight end at 32? Probably not, but you got different ways to get it done.
Well, you know, the fact that Mason Taylor is Jason Taylor's son and really does have that pedigree, that matters in
Zach
a lot of
Thomas's
people's eyes.
Zach Thomas' nephew, too, which is odd.
And yeah, because that's right. The brother married the sister, right? Or he married the sister.
Yes, I believe.
Yeah. How about that?
So but that he looks like his dad. That's the thing. He build-wise, that... You know, his dad was really slender.
Yeah, I remember
as
that.
A defensive end.
Sure.
Back when defensive ends weighed, I don't know, 285 pounds.
Can this guy block, John?
Because
you got to block in this offense.
No, he's not as good as Dallas Goedert. Now, the thing is, he's just a marvelous, just magnificent athlete and route runner and ball. You know.
I'll say,
the air.
Let me
His
just say
hands
this.
Are incredible.
I feel really confident with this statement because of the way the Eagles run their offense, primarily due to Jalen's extreme running capabilities, awesome running capabilities, which he re-tapped into last year in a much more effective way, coupled with Saquon, obviously all-time running back. I believe in my lifetime, it has never been more important in an era of football for the Eagles to have a blocking tight end, even if he's not that good at catching the ball. I really mean it. Like, I think having a guy on the edge with this offense who seals the edge, in my opinion, is more important for this team than any Eagles team I've ever seen. So if someone can't block, I really don't want him to be the starting tight end, being honest. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Patrick, and go ahead, John.
I do think a balanced tight end matters because if – especially if we're going to be rolling with a lot of the ride and decide stuff.
Yeah, well, that's
you
what
know,
they
like
do.
The pull reads and like when the tight end ends up being an early read in that progression or the first read in the flat in that progression, it really is an important part of the way that you move the
football. I know it is.
So blocking does matter. The edge, controlling the edge in the run game is what matters. And a tight end is the guy that can do that. I don't think Mason Taylor can walk in here and control the edge in the run game in the NFL.
See, I see that as a
Dallas
problem.
Dallas Goedert is capable
for
of
this,
doing that.
For this offense, that's
well,
a problem.
That, I don't know if it's even reasonable to expect young tight ends to get that done in today's world. I think they need to be trained to block at an NFL level. The game really does take another step. So they're all going to have to learn on the fly and figure this thing out as a blocker. They are featured. They're the best athletes on their team right now at the college level. And now you're going to be asked to stick your face on people and do things that hurt you just as much as they hurt the other guy. Some guys don't ever make that transition.
Well, that's
some
right.
guys aren't able to do that.
By the way, when you call in today, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Phils. Phils and Nationals next week, a week from now. Tuesday night of next week at Citizens Bank Park. It's a Hatfield Franks buy one, get one free night. Two hot dogs for the price of one. For tickets to this or any Phillies game, get yourself to Phillies.com. Here's how you can win the tickets when you call into our program today, whether it's a react to last night's Phillies game or obviously, you know, your thoughts on the draft now just 2 days away. All of it at 215-592-9494. We ask you this question. What was a really big deal in the 1990s? That could still be a big deal, but isn't. anymore. And here's what I mean by could still be a big deal. So an answer like the OJ trial or OJ or Bill Clinton's presidency, like that's all done. OJ's dead. The trial's over. Bill Clinton can't be president again. Like stuff like that can't be nearly as big a deal. And in some cases, you know, if someone's dead, like that's it. As Mike Tyson said, you're dead. You're dead. That's it.
You're dead.
Right. But what could still be a big deal that was, you know, 25, 30 years ago, but isn't? Best answer ever, because we were talking about, you know, the band Silver Chair Band before the show.
Silver Chair Band.
What?
That was unbelievable.
What's the way you said it?
Can we cut that?
I don't know these guys.
That is unbelievable. Silver Chair Band. He called it Silver Chair Band.
Isn't that their name?
Holy cow. It's just Silver Chair.
Well,
they
really
were a
chair
big deal.
Band.
They were a huge deal back in
Led Zeppelin band.
1993, 4, 5, young kids from Australia.
Oh,
when
sorry.
I drove across the country from Mechanicsburg to Palo Alto, I was listening to a tape of Silverchair and a tape of the first Foo Fighters album. So they were concurrent.
Mm-hmm.
So 1995, Silverchair was at its peak.
Okay,
and
so,
they were like 16-year-old kids from Australia.
So big deal then, not now. Here's the question, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. What was big then could still be alive, could be relevant, but not that relevant anymore. John Ritchie, best answer whoever provides it is one of the Phillies tickets. Give me a little something here. What do you got?
Oh, speaking of something I just mentioned, the answering machine, answering machine that
Absolutely.
You press play, you press rewind, you have to actually physically control. This definitely died in the 90s.
Well, totally. Yes.
There's a tape in there
that you can see
rewinding.
No question. I will say, this is just me. You guys can vote the way you want to vote. I'm less inclined to vote for something that's taken out by technology than not. Like that was basically just a cell phone replaced it, and that's that. But okay. Seltzer. What could still be a big deal, but isn't?
So I will pivot then, because I was going to go with the technology
related
thing too.
You can go with
one. Okay. I'll go
like the fax machine.
No, I was going to go with this.
Yeah. Dial up.
Oh, my.
Listen, it's all on the table.
Infuriating. That's the thing.
Horrible.
My blood pressure just spiked.
It's a horrible sound.
When I heard
it's
that.
It's a hard. Listen.
But I think my kid that's 14, if she hears that, she's like, what? She has no idea what she's hearing.
No, she doesn't even know what it is. All right. There are so many big answers, and maybe these guys are right. Maybe it should just be something technology-based that's obsolete based on new technology. Rhea, what do you got?
Relief pitchers pitching more than two consecutive days.
That's a no question in sports.
I mean, you know, when I was watching it, you know, 80s, 90s, we never even thought about it.
No, we didn't. And you only had five guys in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Five, maybe six. Now it's like you got 17 guys in the bullpen.
The guy who holds the record, I think, for the field, Kent Tecolvay.
Yeah, Tecolvay, yeah.
9 consecutive days.
Yeah. I remember J.C. Romero in 07.
Yep.
He pitched almost every day in September.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I mean, you check out his stats in 07. It was almost every game. All right, big answer, obviously, for what was a big deal then or who was a big deal then. Could still be, but no longer is. I'm going to go with the late-night comedy shows. I mean, my God. I mean, first off, you had Carson, then you had Leno and Letterman, and you had Arsenio. And now it's like, yeah, we got guys, but the ratings got to be a paltry
Arsenio
share.
Arsenio was amazing.
I know he was. I loved Arsenio, man. Loved
Magic
him.
Magic Johnson.
How long was Arsenio?
Oh, Magic. Yeah,
Magic
Johnson Jack, all
was
that.
Not awesome.
All right, give us a big answer, guys, for what was a big deal, could still be, but it's not. 215-592-9494. Ruben Amaro, always a big deal. He joins us in studio next. We'll get into the Cam Jurgens situation with the new deal and phone calls and all, including your frustrations with the Phils. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.